All right. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order for the Smith County Public Library Board of Trustees. Welcome, everybody, to the meeting tonight. I don't see any visitors yet, so we're all familiar with each other. If you could all look at your draft agenda that's before you, we will entertain a motion to approve that draft agenda.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Second, Nellie. All in favor? Aye?
Aye.
Aye. The next item is one of the most important we do all year. It's the election of officers. We need to elect chairman, secretary, and vice chair, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So, we will...
I move the old officers be elected by acclamation.
And now, Tom, last time you did this to me, acclamation means...
Everybody.
Everybody.
Here.
Yeah, everybody is in agreement with that, right? Has everybody in agreement with Tom's motion? Yes?
I'll second it.
Yeah. We in agreement? Yeah. By acclamation? Yes. All right. Thank you, Tom. So the board officers will stand.
Harder than it should be.
As they are. Well, I had to make it a little difficult. Okay, we'll go on.
Thank you.
Public, or, hey, Kristen. There's another one. Where's her packet?
Right there.
Over here. Come on in, Kristen. Wherever you want. It's really raining out there.
Oh, it's really raining.
We have any guest remarks tonight? I don't think there are any guests, so we want to do the report during this period, or you want to...
Well, we can. I mean, I think Kaylin Bales is trying to get here, so whenever she comes in, we can introduce her.
We can stop and recognize her. Okay. Let's move on to the approval of our minutes for the June meeting, which are in your packet as well, typed up by our secretary. Thank you, Donna. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the June meeting? Nellie makes the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Kristen, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Let's look at our disbursements now for June. Okay.
The document labeled check register.
All right, everybody, take a minute to look down through that check register. And if you have any questions about any of these items, now's the time to ask those questions.
The $800 for the CERCE for the website, that in fact was already reimbursed with that $20,000 we got from the Library of Virginia in early June.
Okay. Is there anything else that we have that's out of...
Just out of curiosity, why in this day and age are we paying any kind of long-distance fees?
Helen, help me with that. Is it the line for the fax machine?
There is. Part of it is for a fax machine, the fax machine lines, and part of it is just regular long distance, and it's AT&T. It's never that much. Like, $31 is as much as it's been in a while.
Yeah.
Lots of times it's $11. Sometimes it's, little and open.
Can somebody actually make a long-distance call on the line
somewhere? Sometimes we do. Like, if we have to call, like, some of our patrons have, like, their cell phone numbers are different. They're out of this location and stuff. And if we use the actual telephone to call, yeah.
And like today, you had to call Chattanooga for the hotel.
So there's a few still.
That's fine. Not just this day and age, just can't imagine. I know everybody has it, but...
I have one question about, it was, where did it go? $943.50 for maintenance on the air conditioner. Do we have something going on?
Oh, yeah. There's more to come in the director's report, but I will say that check was for the spring maintenance. So in our contract with Starnes, that $600 is just the base fee for the spring maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones are $150 for the quarterly, but the spring one is in the contract as more expensive.
Okay.
But on top of that, he had to replace some parts.
Okay.
And do some stuff to it, so that's why it was a little more.
Anytime I see a big ticket item like that with big ticket maintenance, I think, oh no. What's coming?
Yeah, so, well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Unless you want me to do it.
No, we'll just wait, but I just...
There's a lot more to come there.
Yeah, I think I've read briefly about that, but we'll, yeah, okay. Anything else?
The Abingdon Locksmith was an unusual one. So when the team went to the security briefing up in Floyd, no, where was that town?
Yeah, it was Floyd.
Floyd, Virginia, back in April. One of the things that the security expert recommended that they immediately brought back to me was that if there are any staff spaces that are available that public can reach, that there should have a lock on the door.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kitchen is one of those spaces where, and we have in fact had patrons wander into the kitchen to help themselves. And so we got a lock, we bought a simplex lock, and then we got the locksmith from Abingdon to come up and install it for us.
Okay.
Because it was fairly complicated. It wasn't something Byron could mm-hmm. do. He had to drill all kinds of stuff in the door.
Okay.
But everyone now feels a little more secure.
Okay. I have a motion to approve the disbursements for June.
So moved.
Tom made the motion. Do I have a second?
No second.
Kristen, second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Now let's review the financial report, which is right there as well, by category. And this was our last one for the fiscal year. So everybody look down through those columns.
So on the income statement, that state aid was not actually the quarterly. That was our ARPA reimbursement.
Okay. All right. So the items, I'm looking at the remaining balances mostly on my June 2022. Hello, come on in.
Hi. First one's nice to see a balance.
It is.
Welcome. So that's is right there for you.
Yeah.
With some materials. Let's introduce you.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and introduce all of you. This is our new board member. She will be serving Or she, not yet quite, but she's here attending.
Quite,
she's attending tonight and observing and interacting with us, but we wanted to meet her. Kaylin, tell us a little about yourself, and then we'll go around. And
I'm Kaylin Bales, and I'm from Saltville. I've been there my whole life. I have a set of twin daughters that we've taken part of the Saltville Library since they were old enough to be able to. So the library's been a big part of their lives as much as it's been a big part of mine. I'm married and I work for Southwest Virginia Community Health System. So
I think I just saw that on Facebook somewhere recently, that images, you were looking for images.
Yes.
I remember that.
Saltville. So if anybody has any pictures or artwork for Saltville, we're renovating the Saltville facility. So, or if you know anybody, send them our way.
Great. So just to let you know who we are, we'll start with Tom.
I'm Tom Copenhaver. How are you?
He represents which district are you in officially?
I'm sorry, I have no idea.
Park. I believe he's in the Park District.
Right.
Go ahead.
No. Tom is.
Well, you mean
Park
nobody
District.
Else? Nobody else knows off
he's
the top. Park.
I did.
I was gonna guess Park.
Park District.
Just because of where.
So what is Park included?
Where am I from?
It's part of Marion. It's
yeah,
a big part of Marion.
I just remembered where I lived.
Yeah. Well, I remember where I live.
Yeah, well, I
he lives in town.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't.
You don't live right in town. You're just on the edge.
I live on the outside,
outside
town.
Edge.
Yeah.
Barely.
Barely.
Okay.
You're in the county?
I am in the county.
I didn't know that was county.
Yeah. Country clubs always
well,
county.
I'm in the county.
Okay.
I get town and I don't pay any town taxes, so I guess I'm still in the county.
That's good.
Yeah. Get water and sewer and garbage pickup.
Good.
Yeah. No taxes.
Best of both worlds.
It is. All right.
I'm Donna Richard Greer. I'm with the Rye Valley District.
I'm Margaret Linford. I'm with Royal Oak. You know Rose. Have you met Rose?
I'm Kristen Long. I'm with North Fork.
And I'm Kelly Harmon. I'm with Chilhowen.
And then these two wonderful women over here on the end, you go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Helen Conley, I'm the system administrator in public service upstairs.
Sheila Johnson, Allegheny County.
Well, nice to meet you all.
It's nice to meet you.
We're excited
to have
yes,
you. It's great
are.
To have a lot of exciting things happening in Saltville. So we're really thrilled to have you as part of our board.
So the process is we tried to have Roscoe reappoint Kaylin last week on Thursday, but they didn't have quorum for the Board of Supervisors. And so he was there, I was there, we were ready to go, and they couldn't vote. So they have another meeting on the 28th, and so they'll reappoint her on the 28th, and then she can get sworn in, and then we don't have a meeting in August, so she'll be back in September, but she agreed to come tonight so she could get to hear what we're doing and meet everybody.
Figured I'd get my feet wet.
It's a crazy group. Welcome to it. We're happy to have you. We're right now, Kaylin, we're just going through this financial report. It's our year-ending financial report.
And will she have to have her swear-in before or after?
But she'll she get has it. To get it.
Yeah, she'll get it.
But she has to get appointed first.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm looking down the remaining balances on the report. And so all of the items, like 9,000 on one, 3,000 on another, are those balances just going to be carried forward to next year in that same?
Yeah, so you will recall that when I did the budget, I was counting on at least 50,000 to carry over. And so this is in excess of that, which is a good thing.
Right.
So we're in very good shape is what this means. Mm-hmm. There are some things that I budgeted, like that $9,470 for insurance, Marion Local.
Yeah, I see that.
I budgeted it because it had been budgeted the year before. Mm-hmm. This year I dropped it out of the budget because I don't know what that was, but I think it might have been a combination of all the insurances, but we've listed them separately now. So our liability insurance that we pay to the county for VA Corp is about $6,500 a year. Then we have the officers and directors liability, which is about $2,750 a year. So I think that somehow they had combined those. Mm-hmm. So I, as a safety thing, I carried it over this year, but we're not carrying it over anymore. Okay. We've now accounted for all of our insurance.
But we have done, as you can see, really well with the finances for this past fiscal year to have that much remaining in each line item. So kudos to the administration here for managing well.
Wonderful student.
We're not in any kind of red. We're doing well, which is always good.
And at the same time, we've managed to give everybody what they needed.
Right.
We've added a lot of new items to the collection. We had great programs for summer reading. You know, we've been able to add stuff to the collection and add new services like the lockers and still stay within our budget. So it's everybody being very, observant and looking for savings. Helen and Sheila did an amazing job of finding paper. So we found a paper supply source and we ordered a year's worth of paper for $674 through the state procurement contract.
That's great.
Yeah. So we found that EVA.
EVA. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, and Greg Pratt was hugely helpful to get us all set up with that. So yeah, we got a year's worth of paper for $674, which is a pretty good deal. So I think everybody's been really good stewards.
They are excellent stewards. And plus, there's been a lot of grant writing going on. And that's helped as well to keep us moving forward. So thank you all. We don't have to approve that. That's just a review. Do you all have any other questions on the financials? Tom?
No.
Nobody? Okay. With that, let's move into our director's report.
All right. Since I sent you the written report, a couple things in the written report I do want to highlight, one of them being the HVAC that we talked about a minute ago. So on the top of this building is a 20-ton HVAC unit with two compressors. One of those compressors in late June started freezing up. And it was one that, when Starnes took over the maintenance, had not been connected, and they didn't know why it wasn't connected. So basically, for years, they had been operating on only one of the two compressors. Mm. So they reconnected it, and it was fine for a while, but then when it started getting really warm, it started freezing up. And so the guy came back in and he looked at it and he said, well, basically there's contaminant and it's in the orifices of the coil and it has to the half of the coil has to be replaced, and their estimate to do that was $13,500. And so I said, well, we got to talk to the county because this is a major building system. It's their building, their system. They're going to have to take care of this. So I reached out to Sean and to Dennis. Byron did a great job of getting bids from everybody. He contacted every local company to see if they would bid. A couple of them came and looked at it. We got a bid from Comfort Systems USA down in Blountville.
Thank you for visiting the Smith County Public Library. We'll be closing within 15 minutes. The reference area is now closed. Please finish your projects and bring your final selection to the desk for checkup and time. Thank you.
Their bid was $14,575. Another H&M promised to come over. They wouldn't. They ended up not wanting to. We contacted Laney's in Saltville because they were very helpful with the Saltville branch last summer. And he said that he's not equipped to do a building this large, so he didn't even come over. Dennis got their contractor to come over last week, and their bid, they said they'll have their bid in on Monday, but when the guy was here, he said it was going to be higher than the Starnes bid. He knew, because they're a train contractor, not a carrier, and our system is carrier. So it's now, Sean says he'll have to get the Board of Supervisors Building and Grounds Committee, which is headed by Lori Deal, to approve the expenditure. They had put $5,000 in their budget for this, for maintenance of this building, but he'll need a little more. So meanwhile, you know, it's the humidity upstairs is a little high, and so like we've had to be careful with the books because paperbacks particularly were curling up, and so we're being careful not to put books up on top of the bookcases, keep them in the bookcases so that help keep them straight. It's bearable. It's not perfect, but it's bearable. So
okay,
but the good news is there hasn't been any pushback. The fact that the county is going to pay for this.
Right.
And that they're not looking to us to pay for it.
That's good. That's really good.
The other things are a couple things that I also wanted to share with you. We have the, we're very excited that we're going to be hosting all the school librarians from Smith County Public Schools here on August 5th as part of their back to school meetings that they have. They don't have anybody, and I've learned all of this since I've been talking to Kimberly Williams. They don't really have anybody at the main office responsible for librarians. And so a lot of times the librarians are sent with English teachers or social studies teachers, but they don't have their own librarian meeting. And so Kimberly asked if we would be willing to host that. I said, we would absolutely be willing to host that. So they're all coming here. They'll be here all morning. And we're going to talk with them about ways we can collaborate. And we have some ideas, and I'm sure they have some ideas. So we'll see where that goes. But we're real excited to have them here. And I hope it's an annual event. And I hope that if they want to meet more often, we'd love to meet more often. So we'll see what works for them. So we're very excited.
Great. That is great.
I learned this week from the other library directors that Bristol had a First Amendment audit last week. You'll remember we talked about this a couple months ago. First Amendment audits are when people come into any public facility and declare themselves to be First Amendment auditors. And they typically have a camera out and they want to film you going about your business. Yeah, there's been a lot of work in library. That's why we did the patron behavior policy that explicitly says no filming of library patrons. They can't go in staff areas. Anything that's designated a staff area, they can't go into. They're looking for a confrontation. They get, they make money by putting viral videos of confrontations up on their sites. They also have sued people. Like if people call the police on them, then they've filed lawsuits. And so people make money doing this. And so they've been doing it across the state of Tennessee, and evidently it spilled over to Bristol because it's a shared library, Bristol, Tennessee, and Bristol, Virginia. So they did it at the Bristol main, the city offices, and at the library. So it, I don't know that there have been too many in Virginia. There have been a lot in New England. There have been a lot in the Midwest. But I haven't seen too many in Virginia, so that was a new development.
Something to be aware of.
Yep. We have Helen has, as you've known, we talked about sending folks to the Association of Rural and Small Libraries conference down in Chattanooga in September. And Helen won a $1,500 scholarship from the Library of Virginia.
Congratulations.
Yes, so we're very excited about that. So it'll be a little more cost effective than we thought.
Yet another scholarship, something else that we applied for, and that's great.
Yes, so we're sending three people. We're sending Helen, Heather, and Tracy. And I think it's going to be really terrific for the staff and meet a lot of people. And this conference, everybody raves. This is absolutely the best annual conference of librarians in the country. So
awesome. We're
really excited that it's going to be in Chattanooga and easily reachable for us.
Right.
Today, I sent a letter to the Chilhowee Town Council to support they're going to build a new playground and splash pad next to the library. If you're looking straight on at the Chilhowee branch to the left, there's that field. And so they intend to turn that into a rain garden, a playground, a picnic shelter, and a splash pad. And so they have asked for a letter of support from the library. And so Heather and I talked it over. We have some concerns, we're talking to Jeff Smar, the Parks and Recreation Director, and I think he'll work with them on our concerns. The playground is going to be right outside the library windows, so I worry a little bit about noise. But they're planning the rain garden, so I suggested to him maybe if they reposition the rain garden between the playground and the library, that might mitigate the noise. But regardless, it's good for the town, and it's good for the library. Having two kind of family-focused activities, we'll get patrons that might be coming for the park, and they'll get patrons who might be coming to the library. So it's I think, a win-win for everybody. So I did do that today. The Copenhaver Family Reunion is the last week of July, as you know, and Katie has asked that they're going to have a board meeting, and so they're going to hold that here the Saturday morning because they need to use the Zoom. They have some of their participants who are going to participate by Zoom, so they're going to come in here, and we happily agreed to that. And finally, just in the area of odd things, we got an email on the website earlier this week from a lady in Australia, a librarian in Australia, who had seen our craft kits on our website and asked for information about what we put in the craft kits.
World Wide Web.
And it was so fun that, she said, would you mind sharing what you put into it and what your policies are?
Wow.
And how you keep it going. And so
then you could have a little thing where you have a program and she can be the speaker and you can Zoom her in.
it was very fun.
That'd be awesome.
That somebody from Australia found our craft kits and wanted to copy them.
Yeah.
So that was
very
cool.
Pretty good craft kits.
They are pretty good craft kits.
Well, they've led to good stuff.
They've
led to good stuff. Let's see. We're now 100% with the Bank of Marion. Mm-hmm. I knew that would make you happy, Tom.
Not anymore.
Well, I know, but we're 100%.
I don't care anymore.
Oh, gosh.
We're 100% Bank of Marion now.
Okay.
Did you take that off?
That's good. Yes. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. The telehealth privacy space is set up in that small office next to mine. Well, we've got the furniture in. Byron did a great job of cleaning out all the stuff. It had been looking pretty junky, and we cleaned out all the stuff, got rid of some really old and decrepit furniture, and so we got the table and chairs in there. Helen has ordered all of the monitor and the computer and all the equipment that will go in there, and as soon as it's up, we'll start taking appointments.
Great.
So, and most of that should be here by the end of next week.
Yeah. So we'll have to get Josh to get
some
help.
And who will be the providers for that?
Anybody, so it's for patrons. So if a patron needs to schedule a telehealth consultation and they don't have a place, don't have good internet at home, or don't have a place to do it, they can schedule, coordinate with us and schedule an appointment and use our facility. And so we wanted a room that was big enough because they might have family members who need to be with them or a caregiver who needs to be with them. And we I think we thought it through pretty well. It's going to have a monitor, a computer, We have dedicated printer in there, so if the doctor needs to send them something, they wouldn't have to send it to a public printer. If they need to scan something, the printer is also a scanner. We got a clip camera that fits on the computer so that if the doctor needed them to move the camera somewhere to look at something, you know, on a cut on an arm or something, they can take the camera off the computer and move it to whatever the doctor wants to see.
That's awesome.
So we've tried to think it through. And obviously, it's not just for telehealth. People have been using that room for Zoom meetings, for online meetings, for job interviews online. So anything where people need an online meeting space where they need to be private, they'll be able to be in that room. And that was another grant project from the Library of Virginia. They gave us $6,000 to do that.
The grant queens live in this library. That's great. Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
Rose, on the very first page under general, the last bullet under general, did Jill Halley choose not to participate?
Heather was reaching out to them to find out about the ad, and I think she didn't hear back from anybody.
That's such a good way of
promoting. So, Saltville has always done it. This is the first year that we've done it in Marion. One of the cheerleaders kind of came in one day and said, would you be willing to do this? And we said, absolutely, we'd be willing to do this. $25 for a quarter page for the whole season?
Probably.
It was a bargain.
And the cheerleader's dad is the one that did
Awesome. That's beautiful.
And so, and Chris has an even better deal in Saltville where she does a barter thing where she lets them use the copier in the library and the computers and the printer in exchange for putting in the ad for free. So she has an even better deal in Saltville. We don't put out any cash. She just barters services.
Well, I hope Heather will pursue that.
She did reach out to them and did try to do it, and once we talked about it, we thought, no, this is a really effective and cheap marketing tool. Mm-hmm. But yes, I'll ask her again. But I know she did reach out to them and didn't hear back. It partly was summer, and so it's hard to reach people sometimes.
Mm-hmm. All right. That is all on your official director's report. So now let's move on to a little more specific old business, the report on summer reading.
Which has gone great. We are so pleased, and I'm so proud of everybody who worked on summer reading. Every location did an amazing job. Mm-hmm. They're so creative. I mean, look at this room. Mm-hmm. This is, Oceans of Possibilities was our theme, and they set up this room in June. All those little fish are the names of children who have registered and been regular participants. The children have loved it. They've kind of killed themselves doing the different activities. There have been bumps. The heat, the events in Saltville, it's just so darn hot out there on the town commons. And they did the dino event and the petting zoo out there, and it was just super hot. But it was really popular. She put up the big blow-up dinosaur that people really loved. Petting zoo went well in both places. Today, Heather had the caricaturist in Jill Howie, and she had to turn people away.
Oh,
he did more than 75 caricatures.
Oh, my goodness.
And they had to turn people away. So she's going to have him again because people really liked that. Tonight is Finding Nemo. The reason Tracy is not here tonight is that she's over at the Lincoln where we're showing Finding Nemo.
Mm-hmm.
This week on Tuesday, she had the teen program with
the
auction where they earn their book bucks all summer by reading certain kinds of books and participating in activities.
I heard all about that.
And so they accumulate all of their book bucks, and then she has an auction where she has t-shirts and foods and snacks and games, and they spend their book bucks in an auction. And so the teens love that activity. So it was very popular. And she sets all the stuff up in here. She had all the t-shirts strung across the wall so they could see all the t-shirts. And I hear the food items were very popular.
Apparently. I didn't get to hear the full story. I just know that my kid came home with half a box of Nutty Bars.
Yes.
Just half?
She shared.
She shared. I was going to say, but that was her most desired item. She was hoarding her book bucks to get those
apparently
candy bars. And Tracy every time says, you know, I never, she doesn't want to buy too much
right
junk stuff, but last year it was potato chips. Like, they had a lot of, like, little Dorito bags, mm-hmm, and those were the things that everyone wanted last year, so.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, but so it's been hugely successful, and we've seen the impact on our collection. So circulation of children's materials at every single branch went way up in June. Mm-hmm. And we know that that's related to people being in the library more and being there with their children and taking out more books. And so, you know, even if summer reading is only a promotional activity to get
yeah
people to read more books, it's well worth it. But just the feedback from families. I mean, you know, every of the family fun nights that we've had here has been, you know, 60 or 70 people. Mm-hmm. The programs in Saltville and Chilhowie, the big family events, have had 200 plus people every time. They've been really, really popular. Clearly the community missed us while we were gone
right
for 2 years, so it's nice to be back. And we had a couple bumps, like Saltville, the first day of summer reading, she lost power. And she couldn't
wow
do it, and so sat on the front steps and had to, you know, she gave everybody who showed up a free book to
right
say, sorry, we can't do it, we have no power today.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we had some bumps, but by and large, it went really well, mm-hmm, and the community, I think, has been excited to have us back.
A lot of work goes into those summer reading programs, and every staff member who has anything to do with that, it's like their hours spent every week, gosh, they double and triple, I feel like, sometimes. It's
best
like
of
whole
times
life
and the worst of times.
But they are so patient with the children, too. I mean, like,
mm-hmm,
when you sit out in the parking lot and it's like, and they're still in here having fun, and the person that is over that is okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to the post office today, and the lady in front of me, the lady said, can you do this? I've got 10 minutes. And she was closing. You know, I mean, and they're welcome, and staying over is not a problem for any
right
of
yeah
the people within the library.
So they're
we
committed to their jobs.
That.
They really are.
And yeah, we learned, one of the things we learned is, you know, families very often say they want evening events,
mm-hmm,
so that people who work can get to the evening events. So here in Marion, we did evening family story time. The most we ever had was 8 people at that
oh
event.
Wow.
And the last one, we had 0 people
oh
show
wow
up. So that was a learning lesson for us. We don't think we're going to do that again. We tried it. People said they wanted it. We tried it. Not so much. But we did offer the infant class, and you know, we were a little skeptical. We weren't sure how many we were going to get. Week to week, we had 4 or 5. We
mm-hmm
didn't have a lot, but at that age group, 4 to 5 is enough.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't sure about that one. That was the other one. Family story time was new, and bringing back the infant group was new, but those both worked. Chris, you know, in Saltville segregated hers. She had 3 different age groups, and because of her size, she required registration. Registration was kind of a problem, and we don't know what the right answer is because, you know, she said to people when they registered, now, if you register, that means other people aren't going to come. So if you're not going to come, you need to let us know
mm-hmm
because we have people on the waiting list. And so she had the problem pretty much every week of people not showing up or
mm
extra people showing up.
Mm.
So there's no good way to manage that, but, you know, we tried, and by and large, people were happy. Heather's approach in Chilhowie of one large family story time, you know, 11 o'clock on Tuesday seems to work for Chilhowie. And so she does it in the farmer's market in that big space. She gets 70 people week in and week out.
Right.
And then this week at her last story time, she also had the Southwest Food Bank,
mm-hmm,
had a kid's farmer's market where they gave them,
mm-hmm,
you know, the same thing, book bucks, but they were farmer's market bucks. And they got to go through and pick out fruits and vegetables to take home with them
yeah
from the food bank.
And a lot of those families that had 2 or 3 children, it was really fun to watch. So if they had 3 children, one child would buy pineapple, and the other child in the family would buy something else. And so they got a good range of things with their
books.
That was a great idea.
And that was 100%, you know, initiative of the food bank. They approached us and said, would you be willing to do this? And we said, absolutely, we're willing to do that.
These collaborations are really a good thing every time they're done.
So, yeah, as I said, we learned a lot of stuff, but mostly we learned that the community wanted us back and the programs were really well attended. Yeah, we're going to have a lessons learned, you know, out brief at the end once we give people a chance to breathe. And both Tracy and Chris are taking time off in August to recover.
Well deserved.
Get ready for the fall.
Well deserved.
We've had a running document through the summer of, you know, lessons learned from the beginning to the end, and we'll go through that together and, you know, hopefully improve for next year. But one thing that worked really well this year was ordering. We had kind of set a deadline for summer reading ordering. Last year, summer reading ordering went on until the week of summer reading starting. And, you know, it's not efficient for them. It's not efficient for Helen, who has to do all the ordering, or for Sheila, who has to pay for all the orders. And so this year I said, no, we're not doing that anymore. There's a deadline. Plan everything you want to buy. Get it in, and then we're not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
And that worked really well this year. So we didn't have any last-minute procurements. I mean, we even had books that we needed to go to the branch that they didn't even get cataloged until after summer reading because they arrived just in time for summer reading. Mm. So we didn't have any of that this year. So that was another improvement.
Good. So congratulations on another year of summer reading done. Now, how the next steps? I've seen the publicity out there on Facebook and news about all the good things happening. So what are the next steps?
So I had a meeting with all of the other HAL directors the week after the last board meeting. They, from their perspective, we have to, like, sign the documents where, you know, we say we're joining. And so they had Penn Stewart, other lawyers in Abingdon. And so Molly's working with Penn Stewart to come up with the documents. When I get those documents, I'll have Paul look over them for us. They would like to have it done by the end of August, and I think that's very doable. They've also asked that we name our representatives to all the committees, which I have done. And so as those committees start meeting again in the fall, our folks will start participating in the committees. So Helen, for example, will be on the Systems Administration Committee. Janet Kirby will be on the User Services Committee. And Chris Sheets is going to represent us on the Circulation Committee so that Helen doesn't have to do two. And so, you know, we'll start just to learn, you know, what are the issues, how are things work. And then in January, we'll start working with Innovative on the actual technical things to transfer out of CIRCE into Sierra. I've told the CIRCE representatives that we'll be leaving when our contract ends at the end of the year. And so, you know, there'll be some work we have to do with them to move stuff out. So, you know, wanted to give them a heads up. So they were okay with it. They understood. So between now and the end of the year, we have homework to do internally where we have to make sure all of our catalog entries meet the requirements of the HAL catalog. We're about 95% there. There are some things that we'll need to fill in their, you know, fields. Sometimes the MARC records that we buy from the vendors aren't as complete as the HAL standard is, and so Janet will have some work to do there. Helen and the branch managers have work to do on the patron records. So we don't want to take, you know, we have a lot of data in CIRCE, but you really only want to, you know, they charge HAL by how many patrons we move over. And so we don't want to move over people who haven't, you know, that we haven't heard from, say, in more than 5 years. You know, we, even when people's cards expire, we keep them in the system hoping they're going to come back in and renew. But you don't want to carry people if you haven't heard from them in 5 years.
Right.
So stuff like that that we can do in-house before we have to start working with the CIRCE folks.
And that goes live in action in 1st of May?
1st of July, 2023. Yep, so we have the whole year to get all of this done. We may have to have, I don't know, we'll see how it goes. We may have to have kind of a day where we're closed to the public while we X out of one and go into the other, because you can't have them both running at the same time. And so there may have to be a day where we close, where we're here working, getting everything out of Searcy and into Sierra. But the patrons, you know, get used to a different look for the catalog and their account records, but they won't have to do anything.
That's great. Good job. I think the community's excited about that. So,
yeah, Stephanie Porter was very interested in that.
Oh, I'm sure.
She sent me several emails. She asked about it.
Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. I have access to a lot of different things now, academic libraries, so that'll be good. New business, let's look at the new meeting room policy, if you haven't already had a chance to look that over.
So Paul Morrison, our attorney, did review this, and I made a couple suggestions based on his review.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I would say, you know, we had our last meeting room policy dated from something like 2001 or 2003. It was really old. And so I had Helen take it off the website some time ago because it basically, it was very narrow in its scope of who could use our meeting rooms. And so I deliberately widened it to say any community group or organization.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, the way it was read before was that it was only nonprofit and charitable organizations could use the room.
Okay.
And while we certainly want those groups to use the room, they're not the only groups.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I would just call to your attention, because it's not in the policy, one of the things that is one of the ALA best practices is that you require that all meetings held in, all events held in your meeting room be open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about this, and I talked to Paul about it, and I talked to other library directors about it, and I opted not to include that language because there are legitimate reasons that people might need to use our rooms that would not necessarily be appropriate for public participation. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, people taking a test. We very often, people have come in here to take, Paul has done his continuing education credit work here. We've had a realtor take her realtor exam in here. Mm-hmm. We've had people do depositions, and that's not stuff that's appropriate for public use.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, but I want to flag for you all that was a decision we made not to include that language. Many libraries do have that language.
I think that's reasonable. I had one question on number five.
Yes.
Because I've been in meetings where this has happened multiple times. I just have to say, the degree of difficulty to operate the system in here is such that most people will not know how to use this system in here with the projector and the sound. How do you navigate that? Because I would think sometimes people who would get to go in behind in there and try and shuffle around to see if they could figure it out may do more harm than good.
I think what we need to do is have better written procedures.
Probably.
Right? Because we don't really have a user's manual right now. And so that's what we really need.
Yeah.
And frankly, an aspiration is to redo the technology in this room. You know, as you know, we have several generations of technology in here. So they've been installed iteratively over time, and we haven't had kind of a comprehensive one system. That box is just a mess.
That's a mess.
It's unintelligible. You don't know what works and what doesn't work. So we need a user's manual, but secondly, we need to completely redo the technology in this
to make sure people can use it on their own. I think that's a big deal.
And it's not like just for notes. We don't basically, if somebody comes in and like say Todd's at the desk or one of us at the desk, and they say, hey, I don't know how to do this. Could you show me?
Right.
We do that. We do offer some help at the start. We just can't sit here the whole time and
be available to operate it.
Yeah.
So, more detailed instructions, I think, would go a long way. Because most people do have a basic understanding of these things. It's just...
Yeah, you do.
Okay. So,
the policy in general, it wouldn't adversely affect any of the groups that currently meet here. Everybody's pretty much fits within the...
Yep, and hopefully more groups.
Does anybody else have any questions about the...
Perhaps if you get a concealed carry group that wants to use their own.
Well, we don't have a prohibition. I mean...
Okay, just curious.
Yeah, people in Smith... I mean, it's not prohibited in public buildings in Smith County. I've checked.
No, I know it's not. That's right. That's what I was talking about. Just that's where I was going.
I've checked, so that's why there's nothing in here about that.
Okay. Y'all have any other questions about the meeting room policy? We need to approve this. We do need to vote on this. Do I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve as presented.
Okay, Tom made that motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Nellie. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Okay. Thank you all for that policy. Let's now move on to something that was in our, remember last year when we had our little getaway to the lake? We need to do a board self-evaluation. And I was looking over some of these and I'm like, well, So I think we're gonna just go down through here, one by one, read through it. And we need to be totally honest in this evaluation. A self-evaluation, so if anybody has something that they think we need to do better, speak up. This is the board self-evaluation, okay?
Is this individual?
It's a board, as a board collectively.
So the secretary needs to check off?
Probably, yes. First of all, there's a whole section. Does the board prepare to do its job by, one, conducting a thorough orientation for all new board members? Well, I think our most recent board, we've got one transit right here. We've got Nellie and Kaylin coming
here's
on.
Here's Kaylin's package. We are doing it tonight after this meeting.
Okay, and my question would be, what part, I mean, it's a little bit of a dance. As far as the board, I mean, you've been doing a great job as the director doing this. But as a board, we need to be more involved in that process of a orientation. I know they're getting their orientation, but probably, you know, board take a more active role. But I would say yes in general. Did you feel like you got trained in what the board was doing, Nellie, when you were appointed?
Well, I had the meeting with
Rose.
I had that meeting, and she went over a lot of material.
Right.
And that really helped. I think the thing that, sure, I guess this counts, but acclimating myself to the library, like you said something about the two meeting rooms, one was this one and one was the D.C.
Miller.
I have no idea where that is, you know.
It's that little building out back.
That little brick building.
Oh.
Right here.
In the parking lot.
Yep.
I always wondered what that was.
It's a little brick building.
Tiny.
Uh-huh. It is. It's really cute, though. So, yeah, things like that.
Nice things like that that I just probably needed to do on my own. Rather than take me on a guided tour.
But you feel like you were...
But as far as, the information that I needed to succeed on the board, I think, was very adequate.
And, Kaylin, you're getting ready to embark on that journey, so we make sure you get... oriented to this crazy group. So I'm going to say yes with a little note to maybe, you know, more board participation.
Okay.
Integrating new members into the team, well, like it or not, they get integrated in. They get. Do you feel like you became part of the team right away? Kaylin, you'll get, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry I'm directing so much of this down here, but it is new members and I'm trying to...
I was going to say this little corner over here.
Yeah. What about how do we prepare to do our job by participating in continuing education? I know we've had several opportunities for that with the webinars that have been sent to us.
I think this is the best example.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes. Providing regular board development activities for all board members, which again... I think the webinars, which were informed by
our wonderful director. She keeps us on top of things. So yes, that's sent to us. Performing an annual self-evaluation. We're doing that right now. Providing all board members with copies of the mission statement, bylaws, ordinance, plan, library laws, and all their important documents of the library. Which,
yes,
we got that. Our email, we've got that. Does anybody feel like you don't have copies of all those things that you need to review? Okay. Touring all facilities once a year. Well, I know that we do have our meetings. We rotate Chilhowee, Saltville, Marion. So we do go to the actual libraries. But as far as touring, I don't know that we've ever all taken off and said, let's go on a full tour of the whole facility, which, you know, we can incorporate that if you all want, would like to.
I feel like I've...
You know all three pretty well. I think we all know pretty well Saltville, Chilhowee.
Well, Saltville, we never have meetings in Saltville.
We had one the last time.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to do it in October again, I think.
Yeah, so, I mean, we did.
But Chris does a good tour.
She did. It's one big room.
Yeah.
It's all here.
She gets it done.
So I think we all
and
pretty
her
familiar
building.
With our facilities.
I feel like that, yeah.
Okay, let's go. Does the board ensure good meetings? I really try. Limit most meetings to 2 hours or less.
Yes.
I really try hard to make sure we're not over on that one. Provide a comfortable meeting room conducive
yes.
to business. Yes. Convening and adjourning on time.
Pretty much.
Yes. Yeah. Having the board chairperson lead the meetings.
Yes.
Yes. Sticking to the prepared agenda.
Yes.
Yes.
Unless I'm bad.
Ensuring the board has enough information to make decisions. Well, we get full board packets,
yeah.
So yes.
Beautiful.
Working for consensus rather than fighting for a majority. I think we,
yes.
I think everybody, does everybody, okay, I think there's a question about that. I think we work for a consensus.
I agree.
Do we discuss issues cordially and avoid personal attacks? I don't know that we've ever had a personal attack within the board. So we do that.
I can't think of any.
Do we have follow a business-like system of parliamentary rules? Well, mostly.
Mostly.
Include the director as a resource. Probably more than we should. Confine all discussion to policy issues and avoid management issues. And this is very important, I think. We are not here to be supervisors of the employees at any of these branches. That is her job. If somebody in one of the branches comes to us and has a complaint, that is hands off. We don't even engage in that conversation. We direct them to their supervisor and to the director. So I think we try individually to not get involved in...
Yeah, you all do an amazing job, and even in this conversation, sometimes when people have gotten into mm-hmm. you know the nitty gritty, you know Tom or Patton
yeah.
very often says, "Whoa, time out!
Yeah,
not
he's
our decision."
He's really good. He's really good at
Rose's
doing that.
Decision. You're given mm-hmm. input, but not our decision. And I very much appreciate that.
Yeah, that's your job. So we try to stay out of that. Allow and encourage all board members to participate in discussion, and not let one or two persons dominate. So, everyone is allowed and encouraged.
I feel like that's a yes.
So, yes.
Oh, I just don't.
Do individual board members attend at least 90% of all board meetings and committee meetings to which they are assigned? And I think this is more, rather than a collective group, this does get, obviously, into the individual mm-hmm. board members. So, I mean, I think where people are available, yes, they do. There are times, you know, we get trips or circumstances beyond what we can. Do we come to meetings prepared? Yeah, because we've got our board packets. Are we on time? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give a 5-minute grace period.
Yeah, you give that. Right?
Bill, yeah.
Except I just don't do so well.
It's hard to get.
Because I'm always incredibly late for that. So,
well, you're good.
It's called a
you got a job too. You got a job. I mean,
yeah.
Jobs kind of interfere with some of this, but we work hard to. Do we feel free to express even dissenting viewpoints? Would you guys feel like
no.
you were you could actually say if you didn't agree with something,
mm-hmm.
you'd feel comfortable?
Actually,
I know.
So.
I think we all.
I know. But yeah, I'm
pretty sure that
I agree.
If I haven't agreed,
you feel like
I'm
you
sorry.
Can express a dissenting viewpoint, huh?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Do you leave the meeting with a feeling of accomplishment?
Yes.
Yes. Do you see yourselves as part of a team effort?
Couldn't do it without a team.
Are you advocates for the library?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Do you know your responsibility as a board member of the library?
Yes.
We spent quite a bit of time this past year working on that one. Attempt to exercise authority only during official meetings of the board. So once again, this is where we... Okay. Represent the broad interest of the library and all constituents, not special interests.
Yes.
Yes. Understand the most effective way to govern is to delegate management to the director. Well, we've just talked about that.
Oh, we got a star on that one. Yeah. You got any more bookmarks?
Last one. Do we plan for the future of the library by, one, annually reviewing and approving the mission statement? We spent August this past year going over in-depth a mission statement, so 3 to 5 year plan. Do we annually review yearly objectives and a work plan?
That was the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Annually review progress towards the long-range plan and modify the long-range plan. We've done it within the past 12 months. We probably need to put it on the...
Yeah, and we've done the reviews of the strategic plan, mm-hmm. but I owe you... In the next meeting, I'll be sure to bring mm-hmm. that matrix of our, you know, all those mm-hmm. different measures and where we are. We've knocked a few more off.
Yeah, this will be one thing.
Should we have another retreat so that we can reevaluate the long-term goals?
We talked about that.
I would say one of the things that I really want to do in the fall, now that we're just about through summer reading, is I think it's time to start the community conversations, right, that we talked about last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I have not yet written the formal strategic plan. We have that outline that mm-hmm. we talked through where we had, you know, 5 years worth of objectives. But I haven't written the strategic plan because it doesn't really make sense to do it until we've had those community conversations.
Right.
And so I would say instead of doing another retreat, I would like to have you all engaged actively with those conversations about helping us decide when and where and who to invite to those conversations. And so, you know, maybe in our September meeting, we can take that as a new business item
mm-hmm.
and talk through and maybe have everybody come with ideas about, you know, where is the best place to engage your community. And, you know, because we so seldom, you know, there are, you know, not facilities in North Valley, Kristen, you know, is it worthwhile having a meeting in North Valley? And where would that be, and who would we reach out to get people so that we can hear from that community about what do you want from a library? What is it that you like about what you have now, and what would you like to see us do in the future? So I think that those conversations really have to drive the strategic plan, because, you know, there are a million strategic plans out there. I could cut and paste from any of them, but it's not meaningful unless we've heard from this community about what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think that's a good plan. So we'll put that in September. Okay. Do our board committees work and produce results?
Yes.
We have the personnel, budget. Were we working?
We need to have a marketing committee, I think, and we talked about that. And you know, Heather was going to work on that, and then she left us.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it would be helpful for us to have kind of a marketing and communications committee if there are people who are interested in working in that area, because, you know, one of the...
I have a perfect perfect chairperson
for you. All
right,
okay.
Put her down.
There you go.
That's kind of her thing.
Well, good, because we could use the help. I mean, mm-hmm. we don't have a formal marketing plan. You know, and basically our marketing is our website and our, you know, Facebook and social media accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all good things, mm-hmm. but as you well know, a marketing plan kind of goes to what are your messages, what are your values,
branding.
We've got a new logo and we're getting new signs, so we've done some of that work, but there's a lot that goes into a marketing plan that we just don't have. I mean, it's kind of ad hoc where we advertise events and we advertise, you know, things we want to do. But again, that's, I know enough to know that's not a marketing plan.
So we can already start with you all having some conversations about how to work on that, because yeah, you use where your talent is, and there's the talent. So we'll definitely put it to good use. If you'd be willing to do it.
I'll take my own product.
That's great. We would love that.
And the budget committee has been super helpful, and the personnel committee has
as we need things, we get it done. Do we operate from opportunity rather than crisis to crisis? Boy, oh boy.
Yes, we do.
We do now.
Now.
There was a time when it was crisis. I feel like right now things are in a great spot, and that just might be me. I don't know. How do you all feel?
Stable. I think that's a good word for it. Things are stable compared to what it was.
We have excelling too. I mean, we're
All this. We've got a great team of employees who are all really good at what they do. So we're lucky, and nobody can ever leave. So
I feel the same way.
I think we're gonna.
I'm here. I bought a house. What else do I need to do?
I think the main thing our board can do now is make them all sign contracts for 10 years.
If you ask me, I think it's stable is an understatement.
I think so too.
Stable and optimistic or something like that, if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah. I think it's unbelievable. The
excelling.
It's great.
I'm coming from the mental health perspective, where we always look for balance. We look for stability. And that's where we're at. And that's what makes me happy. And that's all I ask for.
We've got experts in every field at this table. So this is great. Do we have any categories we feel like the board's got real strengths?
Oh, absolutely.
Personalities.
Okay, Donna, but on the...
Oh, I'm sorry.
On here... I feel like we have a really good, Kaylin, you'll get to know this. I feel like within the group, there's a really good dynamic. Like, we are each very different people, but we know how to have a good time and we know how to get work done. I think. Because we are different, but it all seems to mesh somehow. Do we need anything? One big thing you all see we can improve? I would just like to be more, with the new, my big thing would just be more involved in like the orientation with the new members. If I had to pick one thing.
As a weakness.
I would out of all the things, I would say that would be the one. The board involvement in that.
Okay.
Anybody, any other things you think we should put there?
We did have a note on including the marketing. For that committee.
Yep.
I think that one of our major strengths is we work as a team.
Yeah.
All of us.
And
together.
We're respectful. I think we all respect each other's viewpoints.
Absolutely. And yeah, I love the questions. I love it when you all ask questions, and I've learned a lot from all of you all. You knew when you hired me that I did not know Smith County, and I've had to learn a lot from you all. So for me, that is the strength that you all give me, that I can say, does this work in Smith County? And, you know, when you've asked questions about, well, what is the county doing, you know, I go and get that information. So for me, you are a source of strength on this community and where the lines are.
Well... Hopefully we'll continue to be strength with the community, and we're just proud to have you and have everybody else affiliated with this library. So thank you all. Really.
Just a note we talked about marketing and the community survey stuff. At the convention in September, some of the seminars they're giving, one is a two-part on making good questions for the community surveys.
Oh.
And then there's a couple of things on marketing. So hopefully we can bring back
some materials for
more
that.
More materials and more ideas to help out with that. So
that'd be great.
And I was just thinking, have you heard yet National Night Out?
Yes. Okay. We're doing that in both Chilhowee. So all three locations will do it. In Saltville, it's called Saltville Gives Back, and it's July 30th. but in Chilhowee and Marion, it's National Night Out on August 2nd. And so Heather will be at the one in Chilhowee, and then we'll be at the one here in Marion. So yeah, we did it last year. We did both of them last year. And I think it was one of my first public events.
Yeah, and it was good though, because you guys got a lot of good interaction.
Yeah, and we learned from last year. Like last year, we took the laptop and we were ready to issue library cards, and people are moving through there too fast. Yeah. They don't want to stop and get library cards.
No.
And so this year, we're going to have stuff to give away, but we'll also have like bookmarks with resources that are appropriate for school. So like the databases that are available through mm-hmm. the library for kids, and some, you know, we're going to like live handouts to give people in addition to stuff that we give away. It's nice to do giveaways. We kind of clean out the closet of all the summer reading stuff that didn't get used. Mm-hmm. And so kids love to get that stuff. But we also want this year, learning from last year, we'll have some handouts of things that are specifically supportive for school.
Okay. Great. We are ready now to plan for our September meeting in Chilhowee. It's third Thursday of the month, normally.
Which is the 15th that
15th.
Month. So. And we have booked the boardroom.
Okay. So 5:30 September 15th in Chilhowee. That's a big month for Chilhowee. It's the Apple Festival, so.
And I was worried about whether we were going to be able to get the room, but they've confirmed today that we can have the room.
Yep, the week after.
Yep.
So 5:30 September 15th, we will be in Chilhowee. And now do I have a motion to adjourn? Nellie made the motion. Who seconds?
I'll second.
Kristen second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Tom, you go in favor?
Sure.